I was interested by your comments early on the sort of whether we're generating noise rather than signal in terms of all of the disclosures that the FOMC makes about policy nowadays. That was sort of an initiative both, I think, of Greenspan and of Bernanke in terms of more transparency. But is there any way, once you've done that, that you could sort of walk it back and reduce the frequency or the detail of announcements that the press seem to fixate on?
Well, I think more transparency is a good thing, and so I support the general direction the Fed has gone on over the decades. I think it's frankly up to the other policymaking bodies. When they get in the game, then I think you'll see less of a focus on the Fed. I think it's hard, and I'm not advocating for reducing transparency, but I think we should all be thoughtful about trying to provide data and information which is as useful as possible to advancing our overall policy objective.
So another often cited cost of stimulus besides undesirable increases in inflation are, you know, excessive risk-taking in financial markets, that sort of thing. So given your focus lately, I'm just wondering what you might be seeing on that front.
You know, we're looking very carefully. Commercial real estate is showing some signs of froth, but it isn't yet at a point where I'm worried about financial stability concerns. But we're looking all around the world trying to see, you know, what effects we're having, and is there something that is that we need to be particularly worried about. I don't see it, but again, we didn't see 2008 either, and so it's always a risk.
Keying off that, Minneapolis was always one of the Feds, like Kansas City or so forth, that sort of had an ag focus. I was the ag economist there back in the 90s. But in addition to commercial real estate, farmland prices are already dropping right now across the Midwest. And I think really nationally, but especially across the Midwest. Is that something that Minneapolis and Kansas City perhaps are already looking at, or isn't that something that's on your radar screen yet?
No, I hear about it. And when we meet with banks that we supervise, it's obviously a topic of discussion because some of those banks have funded, have mortgages, for example, on those on that commercial or that ag land. So it's something we're definitely paying attention to. I don't think as yet it raises to a level of systemic risk to the country, but certainly for individual communities and for individual banks, it's an important factor that our, especially in our supervision division, are paying close attention to.
Hi. So I'm just wondering if you're seeing your colleagues at the regional banks or on the board frustrated similarly about the market's obsessive focus on the interest rate moves, and if you think that other people will kind of follow in your footsteps and maybe take a step back on commenting on the minutiae.
You know, each FOMC participant needs to decide for themselves the appropriate level of engagement. I'm new to this. I've been here now 4 months, and I'm still trying to figure out the best way for me to communicate in a way that I think is constructive. And I don't know that I have it figured exactly out yet. And so this is my first monetary policy speech. I was honest about some of the questions that I have, and we'll see how it goes. But I don't know. I'm observing everybody and trying to see what I think is the best way. And I think each person needs to decide for themselves.
I was curious, and this relates to something else that I'm working on. But if given the rate of student debt in this country, if all of those people holding that debt were allowed to refinance at a lower interest rate, there's a proposal to have them be able to refinance at 3.8%, and that would be locked in. What would the effect of that be on the economy overall?
I mean, I have not studied it, so my gut would be it would provide more. I think that means it would provide more income to those borrowers, those students or those graduates, that they would then have to spend, available to spend on mortgages or on a car loan or on food. So I could see that being a form of fiscal stimulus, because there'd be a net. I need to think about it some more. I think overall it would probably be net positive in terms of fiscal stimulus. But I don't know how it would end up being scored. There's a difference between the economic effect and the budgetary scoring impact.
The issue of the banks has, of course, not only been discussed, you know, by you in your months here, but it's a prominent feature of the presidential campaign, not exclusively, but particularly amongst the Democrats. And I want to know if you could just comment on the level of discourse around this by both the candidates and the media, and what you think they are appropriate in focusing on, and what you think as far as the discussion could benefit from more of a focus?
Well, I'm not going to comment about any of the individual candidates or the campaigns, but I'll just say this. I think we as a country need to have as robust a discussion as possible about what actions have been taken, what risks remain, and what the options are if we want to go further. At the end of the day, the American people need to decide through their elected representatives what the balance of risks they're comfortable with. You know, we make these kind of decisions every day. We make decisions in airline security, how much risk we're willing to accept and how much we want to pay to reduce those risks in setting speed limits on highways. We're making risk and return trade-offs as well. Ultimately, I don't think that that can simply sit with the Federal Reserve or with financial regulators. It needs to be the American people, and that means their elected representatives, both whoever is the president, but also, importantly, the Congress.
Since somebody brought up the election, Donald Trump made these comments last week about Chairwoman Yellen and how he would replace her if he was elected president. And some of the other Fed presidents, I think Williams, came out and supported her. Do you have a position on her tenure or, you know?
Yeah, I think Chair Yellen is doing a terrific job, and whoever the next president is should reappoint her.
I wanted to ask you a question about the dollar. When rates eventually rise, you'd expect, I suppose, the dollar then to strengthen. The strength of the dollar has been one of those key factors that has pushed down inflation and made it hard to raise rates. There's sort of a feedback loop there. What's your take on where we stand now in terms of the dollar's impact on inflation and the outlook for rates, and how that feedback will go moving forward?
Well, I think it is an important factor, especially when I travel around the 9th District. A lot of times, whether it's the ag community or its manufacturers, you know, they're talking about the dollar and the effect that the dollar is having on global markets. And so it is an important factor into our analysis. And there is a feedback loop, just like you said there is. But it doesn't always work in the same direction. It also depends what's happening abroad and what other central banks are doing, especially the ECB and the Bank of Japan, among others. If you look in, as an example, you look in Japan, they went to negative interest rates expecting that to weaken their currency, and it didn't weaken their currency. And so it doesn't always work the way you think it's going to work, but it's one important input into our analysis as we try to forecast where the economy is going and what effect our policy decisions will have.
So earlier this year, we had some hotter than expected inflation prints, and it seemed to revive this debate about letting inflation run above 2% for a little while. Where do you sort of fall on that debate? Would you favor letting the economy run a little hot if it did drift above your target?
Well, I don't think, the way I think about it is, it's not so much do we let it go above 2% and then keep accommodative policy and not respond to that. I think the concern people have is that once it starts moving towards 2%, we don't know how high it's going to drift, and there's a lag in our policy response. And so if we see it start moving towards 2% and have confidence that the data is real, I would then expect to see less accommodative policy just because people are afraid of how big the overshoot is going to be. That's how we think about it. That's how I think about it, excuse me. All right. Thank you very much.
Thank you.